This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show. Some nights it's like ice skating. Some nights it's like falling out of a loft onto your back. Some nights it's like riding in a hot air balloon, and some nights it's like popping the clutch there on the line at Irwindale and the whole engine explodes. But it's been a great, great, Marvy, wonderful, Geechee, swinging thing, baby. And on the 23rd of June, our last broadcast, I'd like you to go to www.philhendryshow.com, www.philhendryshow.com, and get on our email list. And when you do, you will be in touch with us, and we with you. Now, get this. Last night, and I hope I'm not dropping names, I really feel that I need to tell you this, because this came as great news to me. Last night, I had dinner with one of the great creatives, as they say, one of the great creatives in television. He has created a television show that has made history and is probably the reason why the Fox Television Network is the single reason why the Fox Television Network is on the air. And that show is The Simpsons, and the man that created it was Matt Groening. And I was fortunate enough to have dinner with him along with a good friend of mine, Pete Serafinowicz, last night. And he told me that he had tapes of the show going all the way back to 1997. And I said, boy, I would love to get a hold of that. He said, I will give them to you, man. Now, they're cassette tapes, and I'd have to ask Mark, what is the logistics of that? One of the things we could do, though, is if you could give the, I could take those and I could look for flashbacks off of those. We could at least start by archiving single bits from those. But that's an enormous resource of stuff. So this is what I'm saying. This has been the great fortune of our show to have listeners like you guys who maintain your own personal bank of bits from the show, and we can put these into our archives and make these available, have a huge repository of this show, because it's really the only reason why we're here, the content of our show. We're not here to change any political persuasion in Washington. You know, I was just talking to somebody downstairs. Probably the biggest mistake I ever made on this radio show was expressing my political point of view after 9/11. Not because it necessarily lost me listeners. In fact, this show never had bigger ratings than when the Iraq War was going and when the 9/11 happened and when we were. But it really took the focus off of what I would much rather do, which is comedy. I just couldn't help myself. I mean, something like 9/11 affected me. Now, I'm not trying to give you any. I'm not trying to tell you how to think. It just happened to affect me very deeply. And the fact that I'll never look at Natalie Maines again without seeing an apple in her mouth. But, you know, but I got to tell you. No, so the show is about the content. So we're not trying to change anybody's political persuasion. We're not covering, and I don't really care what's going on in the world of sports necessarily more than any other world. This is a comedy show. This is a show of satire and attitude, and that's where that's at. It's a very content-heavy show, which is one of the reasons why I'm leaving radio. And I say this, I don't want it to sound like sour grapes, but it's not really sour grapes. It's just that, you know, there's so much content in the show, I can't do it on radio anymore. This is not a content-driven medium, per se. This medium is more about advertising, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's the way a lot of people make their living. But content is secondary in our medium. Television and film, it comes first. In the publishing world, it comes first. But in radio, it comes second. And what this business needs more than ever, and I hope listening to me tonight, is a new generation, maybe one or two or three or ten, or I don't know how many people, you know, a generation of broadcasters as yet undiscovered, who will eventually move in, and as you move in, you will move out. The present regime of broadcasters in our business who have all but strangled the life out of our business. You can see what's happened with the FCC confronting broadcasting. You saw what broadcasting's response was. It was ineffective at best. It was impotent at worst. You know, the odd show that has content, the odd show that does entertain, what happens? Generally, it's either taken off the air or it's sued or something. So if you've got ideas about getting into the broadcasting business, I would encourage it. If you are a person who likes our show, we could really use people at the management level. We could use talent. We could use on-air talent too. Don't get me wrong. We could use it all, man. I mean, we are cash poor, and you know what? And there's skid marks on the shorts, and man, and grandma, the bleach ran out. We got all kinds of trouble. So we could use people at the management level, talent, everything. We are in that kind of a state right now. And these companies that run the radio business, the companies involved in the radio business, are so clueless that what they don't understand is that they're re-sowing the same ground so much. You know how a farmer has to rotate the soil that he plants in? That broadcasting doesn't do that. It keeps trying to plant in the same soil, and it's running out, man. So what we decided to do is take this show and put it over someplace else, do other things with it, and at least maintain the archive of material that we've got. When you go to the website and you give us your email address, you will have access to more and more and more and more material from our archives and from the shows that we've done from 1990 forward. So it's philhendryshow.com, and just lay that email address on us. I've got a flashback coming up. Now, this isn't it, but this is just a note from a guy named Ben. Phil, could you please play a bit that you did during the year the Rams made the Super Bowl? Now, when that was one of 2 years against the Patriots, against the Titans, where R.C. kept talking that the Rams were going to run and gun. R.C. kept on repeating that, and callers were getting pissed off. It was hilarious. Good luck with the transition to film and TV. Thanks, Ben. R.C. was talking about run and gun. It had to be the Titans Super Bowl. Either that or it was the Patriots. I don't know, man. But we're going to look for that. And in a minute, though, we got to play one for you from 1994 Miami. It was actually a request. I guess the request came from Miami, didn't it? It's a Charles Kuralt bit. I don't remember. We'll have it for you and more. We'll take some of your phone calls here at 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
There's braces for your teeth and a bust to Dollywood if you'll shut up.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, here's a flashback from Lawrence. It says, "Hey, Phil, I'd like you to play the old On the Road with Charles bit from your 1994 CD. I drop mud every time I hear it. Thanks, brother Lawrence." Here it is, On the Road with Charles Kuralt. Whatever, man. What the hell? Wasn't that Woodstock 25? God, was that cheesy. God, how I hated all of those. And then Woodstock 99. Yeah, good idea. I guess there'll be a, what do you think there'll be a Woodstock 2009? Not. We'll get Fred Durst out there. Hey, Fred, here's a great idea, man. How about if we take your rules and set fire to that? I think anytime they have a show like, I think it's great. Frankly, I thought Woodstock 99 was great when they set fire to everything. I think they should have piled all the bands in the middle and set fire to all of them, too. As long as we're on a subject. Just tie them up, douse them with gasoline, and light their asses on fire. Anyway, that was something. That was from our 94 CD. What kind of weirdness? That was Charles Kuralt. Now, there's an example right there, you guys. I had to beep out Kuralt. You ready for that? You want to know why? Because they were afraid that we were going to get sued by the real Charles Kuralt. Little did they know, he was dead. See, this is what I'm talking. We're not going to get sued by the real Charles Kuralt. For what? I'm making fun of, you know, I'm satirizing the guy. Didn't he do that On the Road thing? But that's the paranoia that's going on in this business, I'm telling you. I'll tell you where this show, in 2004, man, when the FCC came down with all of their bullcrap because of that fat-ass Janet Jackson, and radio started taking a hit. And by the way, Mancow, no problem quoting me and all of the trade press, man, when you say that we ought to sue the FCC. No sweat, baby, you can go ahead and take credit for that. Remember that R&R thing when Mancow's there and Comb Over Boy and everybody, and they were all sitting there like bumps on a freaking log while I had the whole audience in the palm of my hand, and I'm saying all this stuff, right? And Mancow comes over to me and says, "Yeah, really good show, man." I said, "Yeah, great, thanks. I never heard of you." And anyway, nah, I'm kidding around, Don. Don't get pissed at me. But seriously, and then the next thing I read in some interview with him, he goes, "Yeah, we should sue the FCC." Yeah, that's great, man. Where'd you get that idea? Don't tell me you thought of it, man. Please, come on. You're good, but you ain't that good. You're good, but you ain't smart. No, you're smart, but you ain't... Nah, never mind. Good Lord. So after all that stuff went... And then they took all the material, so... But we're getting it back. I don't know what the hell, but they're on their own, man. After the 23rd, baby, I am going fishing. It's going to be a beautiful thing. Then I'm going to go and get myself all those bottles of tequila that people have been giving me as a send-off. I got that one that Andrew Ashwood gave me. I got the one that my little lady here, Michelle Hernandez, gave me. I got more bottles of Don Julio than Don Julio does. That's going to be one hell of a party. The following week, I'll be in detox. And the week after that, I'll be losing weight, probably. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. We're going to take some phone calls from the marvelous people on the line waiting to talk to us. Johnny?
Hey, Phil.
How are you, brother?
Good. How are you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Thank you.
Hey, have you tried Cabo Wabo tequila?
Yeah, it's okay. It's not as good as the Julio.
Uh-huh.
It isn't. It's not. It's Sammy's. You're talking about Hagar's.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Reposado. It's good. It's good. Yeah. It's just not, not that good.
Oh, because I got some yesterday, because it was my birthday yesterday.
Yeah.
And actually, I tried calling in yesterday.
Right.
And you were doing reruns.
How do you know?
Nobody answered.
Well, maybe we knew you were calling. So yesterday you had your birthday, and you're sitting there in your mom's garage slugging it down, and you just turned 45, and what else was going on, man?
Not exactly. But
hey, Phil, it is my 45th, and I want to wish you, or I mean me, a happy birthday. And how old are you, Johnny? I turned 46. How old are you, man?
I'm 32.
Out of sight. Are you married?
Yes.
And are there children?
No children. I've got a Dalmatian, actually.
Oh, you're a Dalmatian. All right.
No.
Hi, Phil. I'm Johnny the Dalmatian. I married a human. No, you guys have the dog. Okay, that's good. You're up in Berkeley, right?
Yeah, we're up in Berkeley Hills.
I got upset when I used to listen to the University of California Berkeley radio station, which was, is it KX?
It'd be Calix.
Yeah.
Yes.
Used to love that station, and now I can't get anymore. They took it. They stopped streaming it.
Oh, man.
They had the Tiger Lilies in one day. That was the freaky. You ever heard them? It's three guys, and the lead singer trained himself to sound like a female opera singer. Seriously.
Uh-huh.
So he would sing like this. That's the music of these freaks. And they were in studio, and it was then that I knew I wanted to go into show business.
Nah.
All right, Johnny, it's been really a thrill, as it usually is, talking to guys from Berkeley. And anyway, I'm kidding around, pal. Thank you very much for your support. I imagine that's why you called.
Oh, man, I've been listening 3 years.
You're a good man. Oh, hey, yeah, that's right. We were on in San Francisco until that fat-ass Cole took us off the air. I can say that, can't I? He works for CBS. Go ahead.
Yeah, you were on...
K-ass, something like that, I forget.
What was it? It was K-N-E-W.
K-N-E-W, yes.
That was it. And actually, I was driving my truck the next day, I guess when you weren't on, and the guy was saying Bill O'Reilly was coming on at 7.
There you go. He's a champion radio broadcaster.
Bill O'Reilly. And I couldn't believe it. And so it was right there and then that I had to get your backstage pass.
Hey, let me ask you something, man. Now, there you go. I mean, look, Bill O'Reilly is a good television presenter, I think they say in Britain.
Uh-huh.
Bill O'Reilly's not a radio personality. He wouldn't get hired. If his name wasn't Bill O'Reilly, he wouldn't get hired in... He'd have a hard time getting hired in Portland, Oregon. Now, they took me off the air because of the content, and they put that guy on. Now, that's exactly what I'm talking about. His radio show is terrible. His radio show is a piece of turd. It doesn't pull a number. If they put half of the effort into my show, promoting my show, as they put into freaking Bill O'Reilly, we would have gotten 9 million times the listeners that guy got. But because he represents a certain kind of radio, which is political talk, and because the stations like KNEW can't handle anything else, that's what they put on the air. And because of this realization, Johnny, I'm moving in with you. All right.
Well, you're welcome.
I'm coming into the garage. I'm going to start knocking the tequila back in the morning. You'll, you know, open the garage door and you go, Phil, you got to get going one of these days. No, I'm good, man. No, come on, man. I got to move my car. My wife's getting scared.
Man, well, I'll tell you, I'll miss your show.
Thanks, brother.
You know.
All right. I'll be talking to you soon. Call again.
All right, man.
Just say it's Johnny in Berkeley.
All right, I will.
All right, dude.
All right.
Later. He said, hi, I'm Johnny. I'm a Dalmatian dog. And no, seriously, Phil. Let's go to Scott, who's in Portland, Maine, on the other side of the thing. Hi, Scott.
How you doing, Phil?
Good, brother.
Hey, man, I'm glad I called in. I wasn't going to, but you, I had to say, you were the one that inspired me to get on the air.
Oh, out of sight. Are you on the radio?
On radio.
Yeah?
Yeah. I chased it to San Francisco. I flew out to San Francisco. I drove to middle of nowhere, freaking Missouri, and then I drove out to Portland, Maine from Denver, and doing the overnight thing, man. On the
music
stuff.
You are living the life now, brother. How old are you?
I'm 21.
Yeah, dude, you're right in the wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was doing that. When I was 21, I was in Orlando.
Yeah, no, I know. I followed your career in that way. I figure I got 13 more years of spinning. Well, we don't spin records anymore. You know that, right?
No, you're just like punching a button on a mass mother-father computer.
It's all automated. Anyway.
Well, you know what you need to do? I got to L.A. as a disc jockey at the age of 26.
Yeah.
And then I left again at the age of 37. And then I got back again as a talk show host at the age of, I think I was 44.
Man, I don't know.
What you need to do is you don't want to make lateral moves, dude.
Yeah.
You know, did you say you went from Denver, Colorado to Portland, Maine?
Yeah, I know. I looked around in Denver, man. Nothing there.
Were you on the air in Denver?
No.
No, you want to, from Portland, Maine, you want to start kind of inching your way back up the ladder there.
Yeah, that's the plan.
I almost went from Ventura and took a gig in Akron, Ohio.
Yeah.
Are you ready for that? And the guy that owned the station in Ventura, I'll never get the guy's name, was Bob Fox. He was a nice guy. He said, Phil, you want to go from here to Akron? I said, well, yeah, because the bread's, but how much more is the bread? I said, it's maybe $3,000-$4,000 a year. He says, I'll give you the freaking raise. You know, I mean, I got it. He says, Phil, I'll let you quit, but I just got to tell you, Ventura to Akron. And he talked me out of it, so.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
All right,
anyway,
man.
I just wanted to call in and let you know that I appreciate the show, man. And really, I was sitting on my rear end working at a restaurant watching one of your webcasts, and I said, you know what, this.
If that jackass can do that, I can do something.
If Phil can do this, then, yeah.
There's got to be something out there. You got to be happy, man. You got to be happy.
Hey, I was going to ask you real quick if you got the time. One or two things I always wanted to know. What you kind of touched on it, man. What did you do after 9/11?
I did politics on the show. I got really upset with what happened to our country.
Yeah.
And I had to vent it. It was, I'd never seen anything like it in my life. I was pissed and I wanted to say it. And so the show took on a decided political point of view, which is my political point of view. It is not a traditional Hollywood liberal point of view, and it got a lot of people in this town upset.
Yeah.
It also sort of pissed off a lot of my listeners. And it probably confused the issue as to what the show is about. But you know what, man? That's not my job. My job is to do my show. It's the job of the people that syndicate my show to figure out how to syndicate it and get it on the air and sell it. And, you know, so having learned how capable they are of that, I decided to. What's that, man?
I said, thanks for the show, man.
All right, brother. See you later.
Appreciate it.
That guy is on the radio. He heard our bumper music and said, let's get out of here.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball, it's entertainment. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Yeah, that guy was I was just talking to that guy from Portland, Maine. And the dude is 21. And that's the world. And you know what? Here, the thing about radio is this. You know, I was 19, I was in Orlando, then I went to Utica, New York, then I went back to Orlando, then I went to New Orleans, and every step of the way, you're trying to go to a bigger station, bigger market, more money, and trying to play the game or whatever you think the game is. And there's all kinds of people that I run into, and all kinds of talent, and all kinds of people who are in radio as performers, you know, whether they're disc jockeys, or they're talk show hosts, or they're just insane, you know. Somewhat like myself, and there's an awful lot of energy, an awful lot of work that goes into it, and there is a lot of concern and care for the craft, you know. And I will tell you, I cannot believe that I got 33 years into this business without killing somebody. I'm not kidding you, because you work your ass off. You work your ass off, and 9 times out of 10, you got some guy in a suit that calls himself a general manager. Who's going to stick his freaking face into your studio or his program director or whoever, and they're going to tell you how to do it. The biggest piece of advice I could give that guy that I talked to, or anybody, know what it is that you're doing, and there'll be far less of a chance anyone's going to screw with it. They may fire your ass, but at least they won't screw with it. But you got to remember this. It's the on-air experience that's the thing, man, because you get off the air and you got to walk and talk to those people. I'm serious. You're going to find a gun. It just ain't. And I'll never forget with my first radio show, I left the station one morning. I did the overnight, so I would leave in the morning after everybody gotten there. You know, like, oh, see you later, Phil. Yeah, bye. And I go out to get my car. All the Mercedes Benzes, those are all the sales guys and all the account execs and all the general managers. And all the crap can busted down wagons, that's all the air talent. And I remember thinking, why is that? Well, it took a while, but I figured it out. And that's when I decided to become Batman. All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686. So remember this. Make as much bread as you possibly can. Do exactly what you want to do on the air. When they tell you don't do it, tell them, fine, go hire somebody else. Go to another station. Go to another. Get higher and higher, bigger and bigger and bigger. And then go to TV. But that have something when you go to TV. Don't do what a lot of cats do, which is this. Oh, wow. You want to do a TV gig? Sure. I'll quit my radio gig. I'll go over there. Because they'll screw you just as fast. Make sure you got something. Take it on over there. And don't ever look back. And I make this solemn pledge, man. I ain't ever coming back to radio. Ever. Because I did it. It's done. Fini. I can't get any better. This is as good as it gets. I can't make it any bigger or any broader. This is it. And I do not want to sit here until I'm 80 doing voices on the radio. Do you understand? I would go home and I would be like that character that, what's his ass, played in the movie. Who is that guy, Robert Young, when he blew his brains out and he was had Alzheimer's? Can you imagine me 70? And now let's talk to Lloyd. How you oh, please. Ain't going to happen, man. This is it, the end of the road. As of Friday, 1 week from tonight, I am out of here, and I will never look back. The only thing we're going to keep going is our website. And whatever it is I get into, God, I hope it's legal. There's only one thing I want out of life now, staying out of jail. Okay, I'm going to go over to Yolanda. Hello, Yolanda.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing really good.
Yeah, well, you sound wonderful. You sound vibrant and alive. Yeah. Now, where are you? We've just talked to people in Berkeley, Portland, Maine. We had a gentleman on from, I think, a weather station in Key Largo.
I'm from Tennessee.
You are from Tennessee.
Yeah.
What? Whereabouts?
In the Chattanooga area.
Just around the Chattanooga area.
Yeah.
So you're wandering the area right now?
I live here in Tennessee.
You live in Chattanooga. Yeah. You know, I used to go up to Chattanooga on weekends from Atlanta.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad, isn't it? Think of that. I think, well, I'm new in Atlanta, and it's kind of, I don't know anybody. I know, I think I'll drive to Chattanooga. So I would drive miles, and I find, oh, look at this town, it's Chattanooga. And like a jackass, I get off the freeway, and I drive into Chattanooga, and I go, hey, there's the Chattanooga Choo Choo. I swear to God, they got a train there. Do they still have it there at that Holiday Inn?
Yeah, they do.
And so I park my stupid car, and I get out, and I look at this freaking stupid train. Then I get back in my car, and I drive back to Atlanta, and I go, oh, God, that's sad. And then I would immediately head to downtown Atlanta to this bar I know near the art college, and because the bartender would lock the doors at 10, and from that point forward, everybody got free drinks. Oh. And it was generally when all the Atlanta art students would come in for, you know, after class. So it was pretty fun, man. And we'd wind up just getting hammered until 2 a.m., and I was trying to forget Chattanooga.
Oh, wow.
I actually wrote a song, Forgetting Chattanooga. And it has to do with a lot of martinis. No, I'm just kidding around. Well, thanks for calling.
Well, I just want you to know that I really appreciate you, and I wish you weren't going off the air.
Thank you, ma'am.
I went through a lot of health problems in the fall, and if it wasn't for your show, I mean, seriously, I don't know that it just really gave me a good lift every
evening.
Are
you sure that my show didn't cause the health problems?
No. See, now this no.
Is really. I'm still waiting for the one guy to call who said, Phil, I did. I actually did crash my car, and I'm paralyzed now from the neck down, but I thank you anyway for the laughs.
Oh, I love you, and I just, I'm really going to miss you.
Oh, thanks,
you're
man.
Just doing us a disservice by going off the air. I mean, you just don't know how much good you've done to people like me that have really been going through a struggle, and I'm
really
going to miss you terribly.
Hey, you know what? You're giving me an idea now.
What's that?
What do you think about, like, a religious thing? Hello? I'm Reverend Phil Hendry, and this is The God Hour. Dun, 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 dun! The Reverend Hendry God Hour.
I'm all for that.
And then I come on and go, and then you can come on, Yolanda. Phil, you have helped me so much. That is wonderful. That is beautiful.
Well, I Yolanda, really mean that from
I'd
the
like
bottom
to,
of my heart.
I really do. I want you to have our prayer rag. This is soaked in oil from my skin. I haven't bathed in a week. No, you're really sweet. You know what, man? I dig that. You know, I was... Yeah, here we go. Yolanda is with us. Yolanda, how are you this evening, dear?
much better now.
Are you much better? You know why? Because you're feeling the spirit.
This is
Feeling the Spirit Hour. And I'm Reverend Bob Hangerman. Now, I know it sounds Jewish, but I am a Presbyterian minister. Now, Yolanda, you are in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I'd want... Excuse me, Yolanda, but I'm just getting over... What is that organ player doing? Skip. Bob, kill it. All right, I want the guy fired. All right, I told him if he kept on snorting that crank off of those Venetian blinds. We just got him out of prison, Yolanda. You know, he was in our prison ministry. And he came out. He says, well, something along the lines of, well, I know how to play a calliope. I said, a calliope. Are you know what do I look like, P.T. Barnum? All right, go ahead. So I move a calliope into my church. Now, is that nuts? However, I'm trying to help everyone. And Yolanda, God bless.
You're amazing.
Woo! Anyway, I love you. Thanks for calling.
No problem.
Stay in touch.
Good luck.
All right, honey. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Good evening. And this is God Works Through Me. I'm Reverend Bob Hangerman. My name is German, not Jewish.
Reverend Bob Hangerman with God Works Through Him.
In your life, you'll need God. Here he goes again. Boy, this guy. I don't like the way he plays, Eddie. I don't like the way he plays.
We'll be back as Reverend Bob Hangerman hangs the organ player.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You can all go straight to the nether reaches. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
What was I doing the other day? I was talking about every single woman I ever met in radio. Every woman that was in my life that I met at a radio station. And I couldn't even list them all because that's really the very best women. And again, if you think it sounds like some of these guys will tell you that they've met a lot of women because they're studs. No, they've met a lot of women because they can't hang on to one, because they can't be married to one. And because after a while, women just have so much pity in their heart for you. They'll come in, scrub a few of the, bacon strips out of your shorts. You know, when you get to be, my age, man, you've met a lot of women. If you like girls and you're old and you didn't get married, it stands to reason sooner or later, there's going to be a few in your life, whether you like it or not. Whether you don't even want them around, they'll come around. But the best ones I ever met were the ones that I met through my line of work. And if I started now mentioning all of them, I would, I'd get to the end and it would probably only take about 30 seconds because, geez, I mean, come on. And it's Chris Norton, I ain't. You know, but I started thinking about people that I've listened to, and I did this kind of half-assed, but I about 3 weeks ago. But the thing that I really wanted to mention, and I'll take some more phone calls, I wanted to mention the people that made me laugh when I was feeling bad and the people that sort of saved my life. You know, it's true that laughter, I know from personal experience that laughter will save your ass because I was depressed. I had this real serious depression, man, in the early 80s. Don't ask me why. I don't know. I didn't want it. It just happens to you. It's called endogenous, or as we call it today, biochemical. In other words, my brain is so wired the wrong way. For instance, I can drink coffee and go to sleep immediately. Mark's seen it. Mark sees me down two huge venti lattes at about 10 o'clock at night. I can go right home and go to sleep. The reason is because it raises my alpha waves up to where they're supposed to be so that I can sleep. It's just the way my head works. The only thing that saved me in those days I was to go to the video store and rent Laurel and Hardy movies. And I swear to God, just watching saw blades drop on Ollie's head, I'd lap my ass off and I'd feel better for a few hours, you know? And I finally pulled myself out of it. So I thought if I ever had the opportunity at the right time, I did want to mention the people who really, really made my ass laugh. Now, I don't know about anybody else. It's cool. I mean, you may not agree with these people. It's okay. It's okay. It's just these are the cats that I say are the funniest people that I have ever seen or heard in my life. Now, I'm going to try and remember them all. But it's obviously got to start with Laurel and Hardy. When I was a kid, I would watch these movies. I saw this interaction between these two buffoons. It wasn't just that the guy was fat and the other guy was skinny. It's that there was a real contemporary way that those guys, the reason why those cats were funny is because they were modern for that time. And still are pretty modern now, the way they interact. And the kind of humor that they did. But those dudes, And I personally thought the fat guy was the funnier one of the two. Everybody says, oh, Stan Laurel was so amazing. Yeah, he's fine. That fat cat, though, with that tie twiddle, how could you not think that's funny? Are you kidding? And then came along in my life, I discovered Lenny Bruce. And I don't care about whether he talked dirty or got arrested. Yeah, he got arrested. He got arrested repeatedly for saying things in nightclubs that now you do an HBO series and you make millions for. Lenny Bruce got arrested for these things. And but he was funnier than any of those guys. Bruce did all kinds of funny contemporary stuff. And if you want to know where I learned or where I got my affection for doing characters, it was listening to Lenny Bruce's stuff where he would do three or four characters on stage. One of his bits is called How Hitler Was Discovered. It's one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life. Another one's called Religions Incorporated, where the Pope has got a meeting of all the religions of the world. It's like a board meeting of one big corporation. The Pentecostals and the Jews. How are we doing? How are the Catholics doing? He does one called Lima, Ohio, where he describes being stuck in a small town. And Frank Zappa was another guy who I loved him because he was rock and roll's last satirist. Rock and roll doesn't have any satirists. You notice that? You notice that how modern music is so full of itself, it doesn't have anybody that mocks it, that one of its own. Frank Zappa, and probably the reason why music was so great during that period, is that there was the music, and then right alongside of it was Zappa, who mocked the whole thing, all the way down. I'll never forget, he did a commercial. Hello, I'm Frank Zappa. He said something like, drugs will rot out your brain, rot out your kidney, rot out your liver, and rot out your mind. In short, they'll make you just like your mother and father. Don't do drugs. Now, that was typical Zappa. And he had no problem making fun of other bands. And I want to say that Jonathan Winters, for my money, is funnier than Robin Williams. Nothing against Robin Williams. Robin Williams obviously was heavily influenced, but you never saw a funnier guy when he was on than Jonathan Winters, because Jonathan Winters, there was a method to what he did, and there was a logic to what he did. It seems to me like Williams is always all over the board. But in any event, I'm not here to bag on Robin Williams. Jonathan Winters was the best. And the night that I heard Richard Pryor do the impression of a white couple going into a movie theater and finding their seats, I thought I would never find enough toilet paper. Funniest damn thing I ever heard. So I became a Richard Pryor fan early. Oh, we have to break?
Yeah.
Well, no, we're not going to break.
You're going to be in trouble.
And we're not going to break. We're flying right on through and, oh, okay.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Truth, justice, comedy. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, let me go to a phone call, and it's Dell. Dell?
Hey, Phil.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm glad I got a chance to say goodbye.
Okay.
You know, I sat here speed dialing for like 15 minutes and finally got through.
Well, good, man. Of course, you could have called Monday night, Tuesday night.
But anyway, I just want to tell you my story. I wound up in ICU with, my heart had quit. And I was lying there in bed with all that equipment on me and a nurse around me 24 hours a day. And
yes, I understand.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And so anyway, I was miserable. And all at once, I got on thinking about your program. And and I was just laughing my butt off.
This is Dell. Dell's with us. Dell, you had tubes running out of your what now?
I had tubes running out of everything.
Every hole.
Yeah.
And yet, our program brought you the sustenance and the spirit that you needed. And Dell, I want you to know that as you move forward into life and you get into that, what we call the flatbed truck of life, don't roll off, all right? And we're very grateful that you've been with us, Dell. We'll be back next week, okay, pal?
Okay, buddy.
Stay well. All right. That's Dell. I'm Reverend Gieverman.